6 years ago, in October of 2016, I preached a sermon at the United Church of Los Alamos called Babylon and Chronic Fatigue, Living in Exile, in which I drew some parallels between my experience of living with chronic fatigue, which at that point had gone on for 3 years, just over 3 years, and the Jews' experience of living in Babylon, exiled from their homeland for nearly 70 years. Well, the timetable of my experience with fatigue and the Jews' exile, of course, was significantly different. There were some parallels that seemed noteworthy to me. The exiled Jews and I were forced, by no choice of our own, to spend time in a place that was unfamiliar and unknown. They and I were forced, through no choice of our own, to be in a place that was not what we had planned for or expected. They and I were forced, through no choice of our own, to stay in that place far longer, and for the Jews, far, far longer than we wanted to. And they and I were forced, by no choice of our own, to live, to make our lives in that place that did not at all feel like home. I was remembering this sermon this weekend because while I was at Ghost Ranch this past week with 11 other pastors from all around the Presbytery of Santa Fe, from Albuquerque all the way up to Aztec, part of what we did, as I mentioned, in addition to a whole lot of nothing, it was such a beautiful thing to wake up Wednesday morning. I went Tuesday afternoon. I woke up Wednesday morning with this immediate feeling of, oh, what do I have to do today? Oh, nothing. I have nothing I have to do today. But part of what we did in addition to that was to share, to allow space for sharing our own experiences of what has felt like a form of exile over the past 2.5 years during this time of COVID and global pandemic. So just so we're all on the same page with regard to what exile is, the definition provided by Merriam-Webster.com is this: the state or a period of forced absence from one's country or home. Now, clearly, none of us have been forced to flee our country or our home, and for that, we are deeply grateful. I did look up, and in the interest of raising awareness, according to the United Nations Refugee Agency, as of May of this year, so very recently, they said, for the first time in human history, more than 100 million people around the world are displaced from their homes. That means one in every 78 people on earth has been forced to flee due to violence or persecution. 100 million people. Clearly, we who were at Ghost Ranch, along with all of us who are gathered this morning, have not, in fact, experienced that kind of exile from our homes or our homelands. We have, however, experienced a kind of exile, a kind of forced absence from what feels like home over the past 2.5 years. We see evidence of that right here this morning. And this experience of exile has taken a toll on all of us, and not just all of us who are pastors, although the burnout rate among pastors has skyrocketed in the last couple of years, but all of us, as in all of us who have been alive during this time, we have all been experiencing a kind of exile, a feeling of forced absence from what we would consider home. Because of COVID, we have all been forced, by no choice of our own, to spend time in a place that has been uncomfortable and unexpected. Because of COVID, we have all been forced, by no choice of our own, to be in a place that has not been what we ever planned for. Because of COVID, we have all been forced, by no choice of our own, to stay in that place for far longer than we would have wanted. Because of COVID, through no choice of our own, we have all been forced to live, to make our lives in this place that does not feel like home. Someone at the retreat talked about this whole time of COVID as something like living in a parallel universe where everything seems the same, but it's all off by just a little bit, by a half inch, by a quarter inch. It's all off. And because of just that little bit, nothing quite works like it's supposed to. So yes, exile, a time forced upon us when the landscape around us becomes unsettling and unfamiliar, a time forced upon us that leads us to feel like we've been banished to a foreign land, sent to some place we did not choose to go and where we sure as heck don't want to stay. A time forced upon us that has led us to a place that is not comfortable, not what we expected, not what we've planned for, and not anywhere we would want to call home. Can anyone else relate to that? Has anyone besides me and Joyce and the other 11 pastors that were gathered at Ghost Ranch found yourself in a place that you don't want to be and yet are forced to by your circumstances, having experiences that you don't want to have and yet get no say in the matter because of the circumstances of your life and of our shared lives, feeling as though you've been displaced from everything that's familiar, from everything that's comfortable, maybe even from everything you've ever known, and maybe even losing in that process any sense of control, any semblance of order. And that's hard for Presbyterians. Even maybe your own sense of self. Anyone else? I suspect that at least some of you, if not all of you, can relate to at least some of that. In the last 2.5 years, we have all experienced some sort of exile. And in some ways, we continue to. There have been so many losses, and not just due to death. And there's profound grief in our society and around the world. There's been so much isolation, and it's not over. And so there's growing loneliness. There's been confusion and anxiety, and that continues. And so there's increasing anxiety and increasing or maintaining at least fear. And as was made evident at the retreat last week, there needs to be space for all of that. Space to acknowledge it, space to express it, space in which all of that can be held and honored and shared, so that we can move through it, so that we can continue to live, so that we can continue to live, and not just live as in survive or exist, although that's important. We have to survive. But we don't want to stop at surviving. We want to live with a capital L. God wants us to live. God wants us to choose life, which brings us finally to our scriptures for today. In our passage from Deuteronomy, Moses, as I mentioned, is talking to the Israelites, reminding them of the choice that is always before them, not just in those moments when he was speaking to them, but always before them, the choice to choose life or death, blessings or curses. The choice to love God first and foremost and walk in God's ways, or to turn away from God and be led astray, worshiping other gods, putting other things first. The former, according to Moses, which of course means according to God, is what leads to life, full and abundant. A few verses before today's passage in Deuteronomy, Moses said this: "If you love God with all your heart and with all your soul, even if you are exiled to the ends of the world, from there the Lord your God will bring you back. From there God will gather you." God longs to bring us back from places of exile. God deeply desires that we choose life. God wants nothing more than to give us life, true and deep and abundant life, full of meaning and purpose. And God is ready and waiting to give us life, and is waiting, I think, for us to be ready to receive it. So how do we do that? How do we open ourselves to receive the life with a capital L that God wants to give us? According to Moses, we do it by choosing God, by choosing to love God, by choosing to walk in God's ways. And according to Jesus, it's by choosing God above all else. That's a doozy of a passage, isn't it? Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. I don't know if you can read that. It says, I hate my father, my mother, my wife, my children, my brothers, my sisters, and myself. And Lego Jesus says, you're in. In part, that passage, that quote, according to biblical scholars, shows Jesus using wild exaggeration to make a point. I think it's also Jesus saying something like this, you've got to be more committed to me and to following me than you are to your family, even your parents. There will be things you'll learn from me, things that you'll be called to do, directions in which God will lead you that your parents won't like, that will cause your family to be upset, that will take you in a different direction than they would choose for you. You've got to be more committed to following me than you are to your family and towing the family line. And in fact, you've got to be more committed to me and following me than you are to your own life. In that commitment to me, you will find deeper life, bigger life, richer life, fuller life than you can find on your own. You've got to be more committed to following me. If you can't, or won't, or don't want to make that kind of commitment, you should just stay home. You are free, of course, to choose a safe life, but you are ultimately choosing death over true, deep, and abundant life. So how do we choose life? What does that look like? How do we follow Jesus in this ongoing time of exile? How do we choose to love God and walk in God's ways, even in this time where things seem to mostly be the way we've known them to be, but are also just a little bit off, with nothing quite working as it should? Some of my answers for myself and for us are to allow space for the grief, to acknowledge the presence and reality of loneliness, to honor the reality of confusion and fear that is ongoing. Another thought is to claim the gift of Sabbath. I was reminded of that this past week, and to rest when rest is desperately needed, and maybe even sometimes when it's not. And to receive the gift of remembering that it's not all up to us. I think we can choose to love God and choose life by listening for God's voice in the midst of all of the many voices that surround us, our family's voices, voices of people at work, voices on the radio, if anyone still listens to the radio, or on TV or online, sometimes even the voices we might hear at church. Can we hear God's voice speaking words of peace and hope and encouragement, whispering to us, as opposed to the voices of the culture and our communities, whispering to us of our belovedness, calling us to acts of justice and solidarity, challenging us to partner with God in turning the world right side up? How can we choose life, even now in this time of exile? How are you choosing life? God is ready and waiting and wanting to give us deep and rich and abundant life. Are we ready to receive it? Amen.